Next question is, do you believe in miracles? That's a. Don't think that my face that I wasn't sure. I was remembering a song that a disco song of that subject that I think it was a little bit. I think it was a little bit inappropriate, so I was thinking I shouldn't bring that up because I think some of the lyrics, if I remember correctly, are not really appropriate. Now. But do you believe in miracles? Is the question that's under consideration here, and so we want to certainly affirm that we do.
Believe in miracles. You get that.
You say that.
Yeah. You have to be our age, don't you, Brad? Okay, so with regard to this question, do you believe in miracles? And again, in case someone is here who hasn't been here since we started question number 7, what we do is go over the material that's in the article on the left-hand column, and I'll give you an opportunity to read that perhaps at your home, at your leisure, in its entirety. But I just want to spend about 10 minutes looking over some of the major points of that particular article in order to establish the premise of our lesson, and then we'll go directly into the questions and have opportunity for discussion of the questions. But the first point that I want to make here is what is a miracle? And it is described and defined actually in the article. There is a definition given. It's in the article. It's in the Encarta World English Dictionary. This, I'm actually looking at an answer that you don't have, so just let me define it for you. Encarta World English Dictionary defined a miracle as an event that appears to be contrary to the laws of nature and is regarded as an act of God. So I want to just talk about that for a few moments. We advocate, yes.
I would state that that's not correct. It doesn't appear to be against the laws of nature. It is
against the laws of nature. Okay, so that's what we want to emphasize. It appears to be, indeed, would be a weakening of the definition inappropriate. The Bible very clearly reveals that there is such a thing as miracles. And so we're going to affirm that, in fact, we do believe in miracles. We'll talk about that in the next few points in just a moment. But it's important that we define what a miracle is. And there is a supernatural aspect to it. And what we mean by supernatural is something that supersedes what is natural. That's hence the term super. And it is something that cannot be attained through natural means. Now, there are a number, and I'll tell you something about this. Sometimes it's difficult for us to determine as we go to Scripture, unless it is identified as a miracle. It's sometimes a little difficult for us to determine whether or not it does supersede natural means and can be properly identified as miraculous, or if it is to be identified as merely providential. Because God works in the affairs of men through supernatural as well as natural means. And if we want to make a distinction where the Bible refers often to signs, wonders, and miracles, there is also many occasions where the Bible refers to God working on behalf of mankind in ways that do continue even to this day. We have coined the term providence, having reference to the fact that God provides for His people in that regard. But when I talk about providence, just to make that distinction, and again, you know, as far as technical definitions, it may be that we want to enlarge upon this and try to be more specific as we go through our discussion, but just in a broad sense of term. God works in the affairs of men. We believe that to be the case. Else why would we pray to God? We make petitions on our own behalf and on behalf of others. We express thanksgiving at the blessings that God gives us in response to the petitions we make. We acknowledge the fact that God answers prayers. The Scripture very clearly indicates that God answers prayer. James, you remember, said the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It does much good. So we are not affirming that God, or we do not claim that God does not work today in the affairs of men or accomplish much good in the answering of prayers. The question is, does God supersede the laws of nature and accomplish His will in a divine supernatural way in our day? So the question, do you believe in miracles, actually, when it's asked, is going to be, do you believe that miracles happen today? And often you'll hear that if you deny that miraculous action by God is being done today, then they'll say, well, you don't believe miracles. And you've heard that claim made. I've had that claim made toward me many, many times. And so we've got to define, we've got to describe, and we've got to determine the scope and the duration and the purpose of miracles in order to be able to answer this question effectively. And as always, what we're striving to do is go into Scripture to determine what the Bible teaches. If the Bible teaches that miracles continue and that they happen today, then I will accept that. But if an individual claims to have the ability to perform a miracle, or that he is performing a miracle, or that a miracle has happened, when God's Word tells me that they no longer happen, then I'm sorry, but I'm going to accept what God has to say rather than the claims that are made by others. And we'll examine a bit those claims. We'll try to do so in a kind way, but affirming what the Bible teaches in this matter. But with that broad term, nothing short of supernatural divine intervention is described in the Bible. And of course, that's what we're wanting to define as a miracle. I talked about a friend of mine who once sought to describe it. He says, to me, he was making the point that if he were to identify what a miracle was based upon his own definition or his own perception, he said, it seems to me, or to me it's a miracle that a black cow eats green grass and gets white milk. And, that's an amazing thing, certainly. But it's definitely not a supernatural thing. It is a natural process that is accomplished. So that's not properly a miracle, though it is often a wonder. And we do know that many people talk about how something is a miracle. He broke the 4-minute mile. That's a miracle. Well, no, that's good conditioning and a bit of talent is what that is. Many times you hear things that are wonderful, things that are awe-inspiring, things that are out of the ordinary, that are attributed as being miraculous. Let's say with regard to an unregenerate man who seems to be insolent and chief among sinners, as was Saul, and yet the gospel is preached to him, and a miracle happened. He obeyed the gospel. He became responsive to truth. Well, that's not a miracle. That's a wonderful event, and that shows the power of the gospel, but it's not the supernatural intervention of God to do something that is outside or beyond the realm of nature. And that's what a miracle is. And that's what we're going to seek to define it as in as the Scripture teaches. So, having said that, the Bible clearly reveals that God has intervened in the past in miraculous ways. Let's get through the article and we'll pick up the discussion next time. John chapter 20 and verses 30 and 31, there is actually a statement concerning the life of Jesus and the miracles that were performed during his life on earth. John says in verse 30 that Jesus did many other signs. It's another term that is used with regard to that which is supernatural, beyond nature. Many signs that Jesus did in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book, but these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Now that's an important verse. I'd like you to make note of it. Maybe write it down or underline it on the sheet. It's at the end of the third paragraph. Because that not only indicates what a miracle is, not only indicates that Jesus performed miracles while he's on earth, but it also defines or explains to us, at least in part, what the purpose of his performing miracles were. And that's going to be something that is significant as we continue our study. Okay, I would affirm, thirdly, the greatest miracle that is recorded in the Bible is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. With regard to the impact that it has upon the redemption of man, with regard to the significance of it as evidence that Jesus was the anointed of God, and who he claimed to be as being the Son of God. It was the fulfillment of the prophecy. It accomplishes so much. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you'll remember that if there is no resurrection, Jesus was not raised, and we of all men are to be most pitied because our faith is vain. But Jesus was raised from the dead. And as such, everything concerning the Christian profession is of value and significant because of what he accomplished by being raised from the dead. That was a supernatural event. It could not have happened 3 days without pulse, 3 days without heartbeat, 3 days without, quote, brain activity. He was dead, physically dead. On the third day, rose from the dead. That's something that is significant. It is something that is miraculous. It is supernatural. It's outside of the realm of what is nature, just as it was with Lazarus. There are others that we could refer to it as well. But the fourth point in this, and this will be the last one that we'll have time for, is that this is the contention that we'll make. Miracles are never intended to be a permanent fixture in the New Testament church. And it was not God's intent for there to be permanently the availability of miracles and signs in our time, in our day. They came to an end. They ceased. Now, we're going to make two basic points to establish the truthfulness of this, and we're going to spend enough time to sufficiently establish it in Scripture where it'll be clear. Number one, the purpose of the performing of miracles was to confirm that Jesus was indeed the Son of God, and confirm that His disciples were His ambassadors, and to confirm that the word that they proclaimed was validly from God. And we see an intimation of that in John chapter 20, as we alluded to. The same basic thing is indicated in the Gospel of Mark in the 16th chapter, when we are told that as the disciples were to go and preach the gospel, to get to the text so I don't misquote it, but as the disciples were to go and teach, that they would be accompanied by signs, teaching to every creature. We're told everywhere they went, they preached, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. As found in Mark chapter 16, verse 20. And also, there is a direct statement concerning when it would be that those miraculous gifts that were found in the early church would come to an end. We'll talk a little bit about the laying on of the apostles' hands in order to disseminate these spiritual gifts. Talk about what some of those gifts were, and what the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 had to say about the cessation of those gifts. But there is that statement in verse 10, when that which is perfect is come, those things that are in part shall be done away. And so there is an indication in that text. If we know what the perfect is, and we know what the impart is, and if they are what I claim they are, having reference to the established truth in its entirety, as well as the partial gifts, the miraculous gifts, to where the Apostle Paul predicted their end. And we'll talk a little bit about that. So that's kind of the basis of what we'll be discussing. We do affirm that miracles have happened. We do believe in miracles, but the question is, do miracles continue today? And we will deny that. I think that we'll have the Bible to back it up, and so we'll go through our discussion of that next time. So we'll pick up with question number one next time. All right? Appreciate very much everyone's kind attention today.